Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. It's so great to be back another week. And I'm looking so forward to our show today. So for those of you that want to call in, the call-in number is 347-945-5428. 347-945-5428. Today, we're not going to split the show up. Usually, we split the show up half real estate and half self-help or in things going on in the community. Today, we're just going to stick with one topic, which is also going to help a lot of people today in the communities because of everything going on. And we're bringing in a wonderful guest, Stephen Gran, and we're going to talk about 100% loans, USDA loans, conventional loan changes and guidelines. And Stephen Gran's with Guild Mortgage Company. He's going to fill us in today, answer your questions in real time. Many, many of our listeners, of course, listen archives. So if you're on the archive, we'll be giving contact information so you can also get in touch with Mr. Gran and ask questions. You can also email us at radio@realityuniversal.com. If you've had a short sale, bankruptcy, foreclosure, or just want to take advantage of low, no-down loans and fantastic rates, you're going to hear a lot about that today. Stephen Gran is also the founder of Gran Ventures, LLC, which specializes in vacation rentals and speculative investments. His years of experience in the real estate industry make him a natural at getting the deals done in this ever-changing, fast-paced mortgage and real estate world that we find ourselves in today. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Stephen Gran. Hey there.
Hi, Natalie. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you here today.
Oh, I'm so glad you could make it today, too. And Stephen, you're in on the Big Island right now, right?
On the... Yes. The dynamics of the Big Island here in Hawaii County. Yeah, ever-changing.
Wow. I'm over on Oahu today, and what's your weather like over there? Because we have people that listen in from all over, and of course, this time of year, most people are happy because they're not dealing with winter, right? But in some areas, and we're so blessed. So what's happening over there?
Well, we've got some cloudy skies, a bit of rain coming down, and what light breezes out of the southeast. So setting up for another perfect day in paradise here. Hopefully, we'll get some sun at some point, but we'll see.
You know, a lot of people keep calling us constantly because of the news with the lava, and then we have. So, what's happening with? I heard the other day there was a collapse or something, but I'm not sure exactly what happened. Did you with the volcano? And I know you had been out there, right? Because you're pretty close by.
Yeah. I had taken the occasion last Sunday with my girlfriend, and we went up to the Volcano National Park, and we're doing some hiking around, and went to the Jagger Museum, and there at the overlook is the Halemaumau Crater, and we were looking at the lava lake there. It's pretty active and sparking and flaring up, and then we turn around to go into the museum, and then we heard everybody scream, and at that particular point, I guess there was a collapse, and it was pretty active after that, so it was pretty amazing. So,
wow.
It was definitely very interesting to see that. So
that was where is it? Because I haven't been over for a little while, but we have listings on the Big Island in different areas. Where the lava was going into, they said it stopped right before the police station. Like, because you're on the, I mean, it's over on the Pahoa side, right? Did it just, is it, does it appear like it stopped going into the communities, or are we?
Yeah. Yeah, so the Pu'u'o'o vent is a separate vent from the Halemaumau crater, which is what they were speaking of recently, that where the lava lake is the most active. But the Pu'u'o'o vent overflowed, and the lava came 11 miles down slope, directly towards the little town of Pahoa, where is actually where I live.
Wow.
And yeah, it took out one or two homes, it stopped right basically on the edge of town. I mean, right by our $3 million transfer station that we had just installed not too long ago. And it literally came through the fence, oozed through the fence and stopped right there. So it was amazing that it stopped right there. But everybody here, of course, is very happy that it did. So
what a blessing,
Yes, total blessing. And we haven't had anything happen since. It basically has just stopped. So
when all that was going on, did you just get out of Dodge, or did you just, I mean, as far as when it's happening, when it's coming through, it could be 2 in the morning, 3, you know, it doesn't, I mean, what did you do? Just kind of wait?
Yeah, it's very slow moving, so it wasn't like we had to really prepare too much. I mean, we'd have plenty of time to prepare if it was, you know, coming down towards my house and so forth. So we just basically hunkered down and stayed here, and the way the trade winds blow, the smoke was blowing more westward, so we're more on the southeast quadrant, so we weren't affected by the smoke by any means either. So I mean, that would have certainly played into things, and would have compelled us to move a little faster if we would have been affected by the smoke. But so we just hunkered down and stayed here, and you know, I'm insured, so I wasn't too worried about it. But
that's a good thing. You know, we're going to be talking about loans today and everything. And for example, in the Big Island, we have different lava zones, right? Lava zone 1 to 4 or 5, I think. Tell us a little bit about it, because we're going to go into the loan. So you're insured. So you didn't, you know, if something happened, then your home is going to be covered. There's some areas that it's difficult to get insurance, right? And I'm sure with the loans, is there a minimum on the lava zone? So I guess lava zones on the Big Island, right? If lava zone 1 is, it goes from the lowest to the highest, right? So lava zone 1 would be you're in direct path, basically, of getting hit?
Yeah. So we have lava zones 1 through 9. And the lava zones, the lower the lava zone, so lava zone 1 being the lowest, has the highest probability or incidence, according to the geologist, of being affected by a new lava flow. But it's actually interesting because we're in lava zone 2, Pahoa's in lava zone 2, my house is in lava zone 2, and is Pahoa proper, and that's where the lava came down. So their theory didn't really hold true in that lava zone 1 was completely unaffected most recently, and lava zone 2 was affected. So there again, I think it's just so hard to predict these things, and
yeah,
it's going to do what it wants to do.
But we always have to check for the insurances to make sure people can get insurance, you know, because so you were able to get insurance then in lava zone 2 without any trouble, or did you have to go through different channels? Or is it in lava zone 2, was it easy to get homeowners insurance?
Yeah, well, I've had homeowners insurance since I purchased the home in 2004, so it's been an ongoing thing for me. It's never lapsed, but most recently we did have an insurance moratorium, but I am still doing loans in lava zone 1, and refinances, and we're still doing them in lava zone 2, but there are certain areas here where we cannot get insurance. On the Big Island, there's a couple of subdivisions. Pahoa, downtown Pahoa proper, we cannot. There's a moratorium there, and also in Hawaiian Beaches and Hawaiian Shores. But mostly everywhere else, we can bind insurance, and so that really hasn't been an impediment.
That's really good to know. I mean, it's really important, you know, to know, because to get in, because we'll have people that want to buy oceanfront and Lava One, and you have to really make sure that everything can be covered. That's really that's good to know that you can do, too, and one without any problems. Wow! So we're gonna interesting. It's interesting because the Big Island's so huge, and there's so many different. I love the islands here in Hawaii. It's so, if you're not from Hawaii or not used to Hawaii, every island has different weather patterns. You know, so I mean, and typically, the west side of the island's going to be wetter than the east side. as you, you know, as you have over there, Hilo, so Hilo all the way down is so green, you know.
Yeah.
Compared to the other side, which is so nice. So, yeah, and you do, I mean, Guild Mortgage has been around for quite a long time, right? And I think you, how many states are they in? So.
Oh, yeah. Guild Mortgage Company, we're a privately held company. We're in 23 states, and we have about 250 branch locations spread out over the 23 states. And we manage in our portfolio, we are a direct lender for Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae, who are the investors and insurers for various loan programs out there. So we are a direct lender, and we also service our own portfolio. So when we make the loans, we also service them out of our San Diego call center in California. So, and we manage about $17 billion in our portfolio. And we do have the ability to sell loans off to, so we also do that as well. So
you can sell what?
Yeah, we're a very solid company. We do have the ability to sell loans, so we sell some of our loans out of our portfolio. We don't service every single loan that we make, but some of them we do.
That's fantastic. So, I want you to give your contact information now, because we're going to do it a few times throughout the show. So if people want to reach you, and also if they're in other states, they could also contact you about another area too. But you're in Hawaii and cover the whole state, so do it a few different times.
Sure. Okay, so my first name is Stephen, and my last name is Gran, and that's spelled G-R, A as in apple, N as in nice, and my email is my first initial, which is S, and my last name, Gran, so sgran at guildmortgage.net, so that's G-U-I-L-D, and then mortgage.net, so it's sgran at guildmortgage.net, and my phone number is 808-990-6734. So any of you folks that are out there that want to purchase on the Big Island, give me a call, and I'm an expert at helping folks plan and determine the best debt strategy for property acquisitions. So
you know, I'm going to move it because we're going to go back to the loans again too. So you're the founder of Grand Ventures. Tell us about that, because it sounds like you really have a ton of experience, and you can also do the hands-on with people. So tell us how you started, or what happened, how that came to be, and what you're looking for with other people if they want to get involved.
Sure. Grand Ventures. I started Grand Ventures in 2008, in the summer of 2008, when I actually made the transition from California full-time to my house here in Hawaii. And so basically I've got some vacation rentals, and I've listed them on Airbnb.com. And folks come from all over the world, and I host them. And it's been, been really great. Yeah, it's been really a fun experience. I get to meet people from all over the world. But also Grand Ventures, also I branched out into some commercial property. So I acquired a portion of a shopping center in Poway, California, from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. And with that particular piece of land, we have licensing agreements with caterers, and we're thinking about putting in some electrical vehicle charging stations and various other things. So that's one of the other projects that we have going.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you're actually doing the electrical, the charging stations in the commercial. That's a biggie right now, isn't it?
So we're just doing a few little projects like that. But and then we're always on the lookout for hospitality properties. So if things make sense, ultimately, that's going to be a goal, is to acquire a small hospitality, a boutique hotel. So that's what we got going on.
That sounds like a winner, huh? Sounds great. So you actually, with your experience, and you can actually look at the rate of return and give, go over, and then you have products. And so with your, when in the loans that you're doing, can you do conventional? Well, you do. Can you do commercial as well?
No, we don't do any commercial loans with Guild Mortgage, so we do residential 1-4 units.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
And we also do, we can do land/construction loans as well. So for folks that want to acquire a piece of land and maybe build on it in a year or two, we have products available for that.
How much down do they need for land construction? Is it still the typical 25-30%?
Yeah, they're going to be coming out of pocket for, you know, some closing costs and so forth. It's hard to say. Everything's really, I mean, the appraisal is centric to everything. So once we get that
yeah.
back, we can make a determination as to what their actual down payment's going to be. So.
Oh, really? It could even be less, huh, because you're doing it in-house? Or?
Yeah, yeah, it could be less, just depending on how it's structured.
Wow, that's
so.
Good, because historically, I'd say. Well, one of the type of loans I know that you definitely do, can you tell us a little bit about USDA loans and how that works, the farmers, rural loans? Because that's given done around the country as well. And I think a lot of people, if they start to hear about the rural loans, they just assume it's only in a very, very low population area, low density area, which isn't always the case. So,
right.
Yeah.
So, the USDA has guaranteed loans to lenders, and we are one of the approved lenders to offer USDA guaranteed loans. And so basically, the USDA has a great website, usda.gov, I believe is what it is. And on there, they have a geolocation map, so you can type in an address to find out whether the property's in an acceptable area for the USDA. And so that's usually a really good starting point. But just as you touched on, Natalie, like it doesn't have to be a rural area. Like there's a lot of areas in Oahu County that are eligible for a USDA loan. So, but typically,
I was surprised.
That, like,
Eva Beach is really populated, and I haven't looked at the maps lately, but I know not too long. I mean, it was eligible, so I was surprised, very surprised. You know, because Eva's got quite a lot of people in there in the community.
Yeah.
So they can go right to USDA.gov and look it up themselves, just typing in the zip code and look up the location or address that they're interested in?
Yeah. So there's a very useful tool there. I don't know that it's exactly, that's the exact domain for that, but if they Google USDA rural housing, it'll take them to that site and they can get to the property eligibility and
Now, that's 100% financing, isn't it? They don't need any money down?
Yes, that's correct. The borrower is required to come in with closing costs. However, I closed the loan last year. We can go to 102% of the appraised value. So we can go above the appraised value to include the closing costs. So I had a scenario not too long ago with a local teacher. He purchased a property. And the appraisal came in high, so we were able to go to 102% of the appraised value. And so ultimately, he leveraged into that house with $650. That was his only out-of-pocket expense.
Really?
So he was extremely happy about that, yes.
That is fantastic.
Now, does that happen every time? No, it doesn't happen every time, but it can happen. So that's one thing to keep in mind.
With the USDA loan, do they have to come? Is there any recapture rate? Do they have to pay back any monies out of it later, or is it just it's not like a CDA loan or a community development loan where there's a recapture rate if they sell like less than 9 or 10 years or anything like that? Are there any other stipulations that they have to pay later?
No, there aren't any stipulations like that, and there isn't any money that's granted or given by the USDA for the loan. It's just simply guaranteed by the USDA to the lender, folks like us, so that if it goes bad, you know, if there's a foreclosure proceeding or so forth, they pay us back. But so there are some interesting income guidelines with the USDA loans, and that can catch some folks. So the front-end ratio, which measures your housing ratio, cannot be any more than 29% of your gross monthly income. So if anybody was
and
to
is that
take
countrywide pretty
income,
much these? Oh God, I don't want to interrupt you, but these are pretty much countrywide. Right, the way on the USDA, it's pretty much okay. Go ahead, I won't interrupt.
Yeah.
You.
Sure. Yeah, that's across the board. So 29%. So if somebody out there wanted to take their gross monthly income times 29%, their housing expense could not exceed that, and that's a USDA guideline. So that not only the principal and interest portion of the loan, but the mortgage related obligations. So hazard insurance.
Yeah, but that's not the debt with the debt ratio, though, right? It's not the debt. It's the, is it with the debt, too? They can't go up to, like,
yeah.
Or just the, because I'm just looking at, that's not, you know, like with VA, maybe it's 41%. I mean, that's not, wow.
No, there's a front-end ratio.
The front-end ratio. So you're on the front-end, not the back-end. Okay, got it.
Right.
Okay.
So the front-end ratio is the housing ratio, and this is one of the stipulations of the USDA, so that your gross monthly income cannot exceed 29%. So that would be the principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. So all of those liabilities cannot exceed 29% of your gross monthly income. Now, if we talk about the back end with the USDA loan, it can't exceed 41%. So credit cards, auto loan, everything else.
Does it also go based on credit score? Can they go a little higher if their score is better?
No, not with the USDA. They're pretty strict. We can get exceptions. We can get exceptions, but it's very, very slight over the 41. We might be able to do 42 or 43. We might with compensating factors, but it has to go into separate underwriting and manually underwritten. So they're very strict about that. So,
for example, FHA loans? They're able to, the credit score can be a lot lower than on a conventional loan. Basically, do they allow a lower credit score with the USDA also, or no?
The USDA, we can go down to 640 credit.
Okay.
640 credit with the USDA. And it can go lower, again, with manual underwriting, but typically 640 is about as low as they go.
Okay.
So
that's really good.
Yeah,
that's good to know. It's a very, very so I would say it's most of the Big Island could go for USDA, if you're the majority of it, because it's
The Big Island can, except for the Hilo area, Hilo, downtown Hilo in the Hilo area, so where the county seat is.
I'm so surprised, though, that
Hilo
wouldn't be, but Eva Beach would have been. You know what I mean? I'm like, wait a minute.
I know.
It doesn't make sense. And, you know, in Maryland, we do business in Maryland, too, and Hampstead has quite a lot of people, and they can do it there. It's funny. But I guess, so anybody listening, you want to get in and do it before they change the maps again, right? Because that's the population, people come in and the maps can change. Are there income limits, though, if somebody makes too much money? Can they still get this, or is there on the USDA, is there a maximum that they can make?
Yeah. It's,
depends.
I don't have the maximum right in front of me, but there is. There are income limits per household. So there's a household certification form that has to be filled out. So anybody that's a part of the household that's generating income for the household has to be accounted for. But I'm thinking it's like $97,500 here in Hawaii County, and each county is a little bit different depending on, you know, the demographic of the county. So it can go higher.
Okay, so now somebody like FHA loans, you're not really, mortgage insurance, you know, the mortgage insurance premium, et cetera, is there a mortgage insurance premium since this is 100% financing or private mortgage insurance or anything tied in with this?
Yes, the USDA does charge a mortgage premium every month.
Okay.
And they also charge 2 percentage points up front. So it can be a little bit expensive from that standpoint, but it's a good program.
Okay.
So, yeah, you get the two points up front. Yeah.
In your opinion, though, do you think it's – because we also have people listen that are agents and brokers for our show, on our show. Do you think that if somebody could go FHA or USDA, if they qualify, would you say because it's 100% and FHA is going to require at least 3.5 down, they should probably try USDA? Do you think when you compare – I know I'm not holding you to it because I know each situation's different, but would you say it's better to go USDA than FHA if they could do it?
If I had a client that was qualified for a USDA guaranteed loan versus an FHA insured loan, I would probably suggest that they take a closer look at the USDA program.
Okay.
For various reasons. But, I think that the USDA program is just an awesome program, and I've helped a lot of folks with it, with a lot of really positive and great outcomes. So, I think that it's a great product. It really is.
And does the money run out, or is it pretty much if they say, okay, we've got this much out there for the year, you're good to go? or does it, I know over the years doing some, I've seen situations, but everything's changing so much, so I don't want to assume anything. Does it, you know, they can tell the client or the buyer the money's there and we're okay, or is it depending on how many they do? I don't know how that, the funding for the USDA works.
Yeah, I think as bonds are sold, there's an allotment of money that's set aside for the guarantee fund. I don't know the inner workings of the secondary market
yeah.
and how that works,
yeah.
but just conceptually I do. But there are Natalie, there are times where the funds are depleted. However,
okay.
the mortgage company, because we are a direct lender, we continue to make the loans even though the loans are depleted.
Really?
And then,
because it's guaranteed. Okay. Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, and I know other lenders have a problem with that. I know brokers in the past have had problems with that, and other lenders that maybe are not direct selling directly to Ginnie Mae have a problem with that. But Guild Mortgage Company does not have a problem with that at all.
Oh, that's good.
So we continue to make the loans, and then are reimbursed accordingly. So.
Wow,
yeah.
That's fantastic. We're going to take a quick one-minute break, and then we're going to get back on the second half and start digging into the different loans and changes. And if anyone's had a short sale or foreclosure or bankruptcy, you want to listen in. We'll be right back.
Sure.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you. After consulting with the experts, we set you up to win.
We're back with Realty Universal Radio. This is Natalie Mullinex, and Stephen Grant is on the line with us. And we're discussing loans and USDA conventional loan changes guidelines. So here we go. And so, Steve, this has been a really interesting, and I cannot believe we've already gone over half of the show already. So we're gonna the next 25 minutes is going to fly by. And let's talk a little bit about like some of the loan changes and guidelines and some of your recommendations. I'll just let you take it over.
Sure. Before we talked about any specific loan guidelines, I thought maybe we would touch in on credit and how that affects folks. There's nothing that will kill a deal faster than credit. So, and of course, credit follows you everywhere. It's a part of your life and how you're charged for borrowing money and various other things. I think employers are now looking at credit reports and making decisions based upon employment decisions based upon credit. So it's important for folks to keep a handle on that and know exactly what's happening with their credit report. So with that, there's a Fair and Accurate Credit Transaction Act. And that was George Bush signed that in 2003, which was an amendment to the Fair Credit Reporting Act. So consumers are now able to get a free credit report every year from each one of the bureaus, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. And if they go to a website, they can get a free copy of their credit report so they can learn about what's in their credit report. So it's very important, and I highly recommend that. So and the website that's been set up as a result of the Fair and Accurate Credit Transaction Act is annualcreditreport.com. So annualcreditreport.com, you just go onto that, and you can get your free credit report once every 12 months. And so that's a really
that's
good starting
great.
Point. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, as we go through a credit report, there are a lot of things a lot of information that's offered. So, but basically, the things that we would want to be concerned with or keep an eye on Well, first of all, there's, in the mortgage industry, there's three credit scores that are delivered, a high score, a low score, and a mid score. And we go with the mid score. We don't go with the high. We don't go with the low. We go with the mid score. And so, again, those are all delivered via Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. And so
Yeah, you see a lot of, haven't you seen over the years, there's a lot, the many times it's really worth someone pulling their report because there's issues that aren't there, so, you know, or things that they thought were cleared up that aren't cleared up. So it's really worth it to do this and stay on it, isn't it?
Absolutely. It affects things, and so it's really good to know what's in your credit report. So one of the things that we would be concerned with is what's called a derogatory trade line. And so that's an account that a client or consumer has had where they've been late on a payment. So a late payment more than 30 days late. And so that derogatory trade line will stay on their credit report for a length of time, up to 10 years, I believe, and affect their credit score. So if the account's closed, it shows up as a derogatory trade line. So that's the thing that we would want to concern ourselves with. The second thing would be collection accounts. These are open, you know, credit trade lines that have somehow they've gone bad, and client hasn't paid, and so the original creditor has sold it off to a collection agency. And so that'll report on a credit report as a collection account. And there can either be a balance that's outstanding, or it can show zero, meaning that the client eventually did pay it off. So that's something that's, you know, that can affect a credit score.
Really, and it's
quite a bit.
Wow, you know, have through Bank of America. I do the credit. I have a monthly. And then there's another one. You know, it's a credit assist, like a where if there's any changes to your credit report, they notify you right away. And it's only like $12 a month. It's really worth having because anything comes up. So, you know, say somebody has a name like John Smith. I mean, they're gonna. I'm sure if you have somebody who has names that are pretty common out there, they probably things come up, and it's really important to take care of that as soon as possible. Huh? On the credit reporting, they have a thing, I guess, over the years I've heard of rapid score. Do you suggest that or don't suggest that? Because I've heard where people use these some of these companies that supposedly can get something off quickly, and it's supposed to give a quick rapid score, but actually it takes their score down too much. Any thought on that?
Yeah, I utilize that as a tool for my clients. So I would suggest that if a particular consumer is going to research how to correct their credit, they work with their mortgage, their loan officer directly, because they've got resources to accommodate that and handle that. And I do that for my clients. But a rapid rescore, basically, we've got the ability to do credit simulators. So we can get into somebody's credit report and go, okay, what if we paid this off and paid that off and paid this one down to this certain balance and all that. It'll give us – actually, we tell the simulator what credit score we're after, and it'll jostle things around and tell us what we need to pay off and how we need to move money around to get the score to be what it needs to be.
Oh, that's
so
fantastic.
At that point – yeah, and then at that point, once – the client has done that, we order the rapid rescore, and it scores it appropriately. It is expensive to do that because we have to update each one of the three bureaus when we do that. So there's a fee associated with each bureau. So it can get a little bit costly when we're doing that, depending on
How much around, just approximately?
I think it's like it can be like, for some of them, like $135 per bureau per trade line.
Per trade line or not per not? Oh, okay. Okay.
So it can get costly if there's a few things that we need to do. But also the rapid rescore works very well with collection accounts. So recently I had a client that had a collection account, and if the collection account exceeds $500, then we need to have it paid off at closing or beforehand. But I like to have my clients pay it off beforehand. So what we do is we use the rapid rescore in that situation too. So I have the client pay off the collection account. Then once they say, okay, we paid it off, and we get a letter from the creditor indicating it's paid off, then what we do is we do a rapid rescore so we can update the bureaus and indicate that that's been done.
And, so it only takes a matter of days and not 30 days, right? Instead of doing it that way, not 30 days.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we can get it done in 5 to 7 days versus waiting for the bureaus to all update whenever they get around to doing that, you know, which would be 30 days plus. Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. It really is. And I think the credit monitoring is so good because of identity theft and just to know, or you can even put something on your credit report to say they have to make sure it's you, you know, so not anyone can just do things. Because over the years, I mean, I can't tell you how many people said that wasn't mine or this isn't mine or something came, you know, got mixed up. So it's so important to take care of, or people move or they change their, you know, their forwarding address may not get to them and, you know, just all kinds of things can happen that really ruin the score. So it's definitely worth it taking advantage of this, especially, you know.
Yes.
So it sounds like you're the man to go to when they know they have some issues to get, even before they're ready to buy the house, right, or before the property, just when they know that if they have any issues, they can go to you and you'll help them, guide them through how to get prepared to get the house then. That's fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. I've got clients that I've been working with for years. You know, because we'll pull initial credit report, and as long as the client is, I mean, if they set the goal to buy a house, I will help them buy that house. So I'll work with them as long as it takes to clean up their credit, and sometimes it takes a while. So we'll outline a plan and a strategy, and I'll work with them until we get that done for them. So for sure. So
fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about. For example, I'm going to give an example. I have a client in Maryland because, you know, we have business in Maryland and Hawaii, who actually we did a short sale for her in May of 2013. Just using this as an example, but I won't give any names. But she had filed a bankruptcy a year before, and so that was her short sale didn't go against her because the mortgage debt was discharged in the bankruptcy. And her credit, she's now ready to buy a house again. She had been going through a divorce, so that's all finished. And she's ready to buy right now, and her score is already up around 730 after just 2 years out of the short sale, but I guess three out of the bankruptcy. And she's actually seasoned enough to buy. So it's pretty interesting because a lot of people are thinking they have to wait a while, or I've seen a lot of people go through short sales and then there's a stigma that they feel that they don't, you know, they're so upset what happened that they wait longer and they really can get out there and get in the game a lot quicker than they think. So tell us about that, the seasoning and what you suggest for bankruptcies, foreclosures, short sales. You've got all the answers.
Sure. Yeah, bankruptcy and foreclosure and short sale seasoning requirements. Going back to the credit report, on the credit report, that would show up under public records. So immediately we would see that there would be like a bankruptcy filing or a foreclosure. So we would be notified of that, you know, right from the word go there. But regarding the seasoning requirements for, depending on the investor or the guarantor, there's different seasoning requirements. So with conventional loans, a bankruptcy Chapter 7 or 11 is 4 years, and it's measured from the discharge or dismissal date of the bankruptcy action. And
for a 7 or 11?
Bankruptcy
okay.
Chapter 7 or 11 is 4 years.
Okay.
However,
okay.
We can do it 2 years if allowed with extenuating circumstances. So extenuating circumstances are loss of job or being laid off. And so with proper documentation, you know, severance package letter and so forth, we can apply for that extenuating circumstance. And as long as the client has reestablished their credit, we can certainly get it done for them. So,
and that's for
yeah.
conventional or any or the other loans too?
Yeah, that's for conventional.
Okay.
So, and then I'll go through the other ones as well. So Chapter 13 is 2 years from the discharge or 4 years from dismissal. And there are any extenuating circumstances associated with that. And if a client's got multiple bankruptcy filings, it's 5 years or more from one filing in the last 7 years, or 3 years from the discharge or dismissal extenuating circumstances. So, again, the extenuating circumstances is applicable with that. Now, foreclosure, if there's a foreclosure, it's typically 7 years. It's a 7-year waiting period, and it's measured from the completion date of the foreclosure action.
Why so much longer for foreclosure?
Well, foreclosure is not, I mean, directly related to mortgage financing, and so if a client is applying for mortgage financing, I mean, it's a direct relation to the type of financing they had in place that went bad. So, I think that it has more weight based upon that.
Because I know we all, with the credit scoring, the foreclosures hurt them more than a short sale. You know, the safe foreclosure may lower the score 250, and a short sale might be 175 or 200. But, yeah, okay. So
yeah, and
the
then
foreclosures,
as you were talking about, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I'm just thinking that it would make, if someone's going through a foreclosure, then they'd be better off going ahead and putting that in a bankruptcy rather than have it hurt them for 7 years, right? Yeah.
Yeah, if they're in a foreclosure, I'd recommend all kinds of scenarios. I mean, the worst thing to do is pretend like it's not happening. So rent the property with family or friends, get the place rented out, put it up for sale. I mean, the market's turned around, and so, I mean, do a short sale if necessary. There's a lot of things, but the do is to not take action and just let it run its course. So, yeah, so the foreclosure has a lot of weight and a lot of bearing when it comes to mortgage financing. We don't want to let that happen if we can avoid it at any cost.
Wow.
So, and then, yeah, and as you were talking about, Natalie, mortgage debt discharge through a bankruptcy. So if that happens, then held just to the bankruptcy seasoning requirements. So I think you'd mentioned that your friend may have had that happen. And so in that case, then it would be the 4 years or the 2 years.
Right, right, right. I'm surprised one of the client's going to be able to buy that quickly that she is. Yeah.
Yes. So that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and what you're saying is the biggest thing is to get your, don't, you know, if you're listening to this right now, don't, or and later, don't put your head in the sand and just ignore it. That's the biggest thing I think that I've seen over the years where people get a stigma and they get upset and then they just let it, they don't do anything, you know. And the biggest thing is to attack every, you know, handle it head on and get advice, talk to the attorneys, talk to the lenders and find out what you need to do, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's so important
to
take action.
Yeah,
the best thing to do is contact your mortgage servicer, who is the person that that you get your mortgage statements from every month, and communicate to them that you're having problems. Because there's a lot of programs out there that Obama initiated, the home loan modification programs, that are, you know, really good programs, and I've helped clients get those too as well. I've worked with them and worked through the process and kind of been the impetus to, you know, get them going and get that done. So those are also very good programs. But I guess the most important thing is to communicate with your lender and let them know that you're having difficulties. And they're, you know, they don't want the property back either. Rather, you stay in the home. So they're going to offer
all
programs that are available.
The loan modifications, I've had different clients that said they've got a couple loan modifications and they were behind, you know, and then some weren't behind. So there's definitely a lot of programs. You're right to call them immediately and see what they can do. So if you go in and somebody says, okay, I had the foreclosure is surprising that it's that long because I used to think it was 4 years, but I guess it's 7 years is a long time. I guess it's really important, though, if it's a bankruptcy, a 7 or 11, if somebody has a 13 bankruptcy, is that going to play out differently because they're still paying off the debt?
Yeah. So the 13 is going to be, so from whenever it's discharged or dismissed. So I guess they go back to court once they've satisfied everything, and I guess the judge would review it at that point. So, yeah, so it would hinge on that. And then to your point too, Natalie, I guess there's one more exit strategy would be a deed in lieu of foreclosure.
Oh, good point.
So instead of letting it go through the whole foreclosure process, if a client does a deed in lieu of foreclosure, it's 4 years also once that has completed. So it'd be 4 years or 2 years allowed with extenuating circumstances. So that might be the last option that a lender would offer a client if they contacted them. Hey, I mean, as a last option, we can do a deed in lieu of foreclosure, so the client signs over the title of the property. And oftentimes, I think I've heard of programs called Cash for Keys, where the lender will actually offer and help a client with money to move. So they do the deed in lieu of foreclosure, hand over the keys, and they get a little check from the lender to help them move and help them with expenses. So that would be an option too as well. And that would
and that's
be
still a deed in lieu, right? Because they're turning it over and then they're getting that. Yeah. So they're still going to have to wait.
Yeah, they're still going to have to wait. So and so that would be 4 years from the deed in lieu of foreclosure.
So it sounds like it really is worth it for them to take action and rent it out, work on it, or do a short sale first, if you know, and talk to the attorneys about bankruptcy if that's what they have, if they have no choice. But that's
I guess
never in history, this is in the U.S. history, I think we've probably had more short sales, foreclosure, bankruptcies than ever, I would think, with what's gone on in the last 10 years. You know, you run into people everywhere that's been have been through a lot of situations. So, well, this has been great. I mean, we only have about 12 minutes left, and believe it or not. Let me,
Stephen,
you go ahead and give your contact information again, too, one more time?
Sure. My first name is Stephen, of course, and my last name is Gran, G-R, A as in apple, N as in nice. And my address is, S. Gran at guildmortgage.net, and guild is spelled G-U-I-L-D, and then mortgage.net. So it's sgran at guildmortgage.net. And my cell phone number, if you want to reach me directly, is 808-990-6734.
Fantastic. And you can also email us at radio@realityuniversal.com or go to realityuniversal.com and fill out the contact us forms, and then we can also put you in touch with Mr. Gran as well. It looks like, what other types of loans? Now, you do jumbo loans also. Tell us, what other loans that your company can provide?
Yeah. So in addition to more of the standard products, we can provide jumbo loans. And so here in Hawaii County, that's going to be a loan that's higher than $625,500.
Okay.
So starting at 625,501, now that constitutes a jumbo loan, and there are different guidelines that are applicable once we hit that threshold.
You're statewide too, so you can help anywhere in Hawaii, and then you can refer them to other states as well, right? That's fantastic. Are you guys doing any VA loans?
Yeah, we do VA guaranteed loans. That's also 100% financing. And one of the things that's nice about that is if the seller of the property is willing to, they can offer a concession for the VA loan, and there's no limit on that. So they can pay 100% of the vet's closing costs if they'd like. So
they can pay. What about, like for example, I want to throw something out here on the VA. We offer buyer rebate programs, and we have a membership network, so can place people with other brokers and agents in other states that are under their own brokerages that will offer menu programs too. So, for example, we have a buyer rebate program where if somebody does a lot of the leg work and finds the property and then contacts us and says, hey, I need you to write the contracts now and take us through to closing the settlement, they could get a rebate up to 2% of the sales price if the commission is 3%, you know, so it's based on. But for this example, say it's a $500,000 house and the person's a veteran and we're going to credit them back $10,000, you know, at closing. And say their closing cost is only $6,000 or $7,000, right? So whether we credit it back or the seller, we can also I don't want to make this sound confusing for people listening in too, but if we can credit back the $10,000 or we can write the contract where the seller credits the $10,000 and we reduce our commission by $10,000 so that it's not hurting, you know, everybody's getting a really good deal. In that situation, because I know in the past, if it was, say we were going to credit 10 and the borrower's closing cost was only $6,000 or $7,000 VA, then they couldn't take the difference. And the way that we could get around that is let them buy the rate down, et cetera. So there still is a maximum, right, of what the seller can contribute or the veteran can receive, right? Just trying to.
Yes.
And I made that a long-winded question. I didn't mean it to sound so long-winded, but I'm just trying to. Yeah, so there would be a limit up to the max of the closing cost, right?
Yeah, yeah, and I may have misstated that. It's going to be
4%. No, you didn't. You did it well. I'm just asking the question. You did it beautifully. I'm just asking the question because of different scenarios that pop up, you know, with because with VA, you know, typically, you know, if it's FHA or conventional, even though now you have the USDA's 100%, a lot of other loans, people are putting something down, so it gives you a little bit more money to play with, you know. So with the VA being 100% financing, they still need their closing costs, but the closing costs in Hawaii are so low compared to some states. Some states are a lot higher. You know, I think they're low when I compare them to some of the mainland states. So
Yeah.
Now, I just wanted to ask, because we have a lot of people that do that program. So a couple ways they could do it is buy down the rate, you know, if they're buy down the rate maybe, or otherwise they leave some money on the table. Because they're not allowed to get a credit back. Like in some of the loans, you would allow a credit back, right, I would think.
Right.
Okay.
Right, yeah, the borrower can't receive cash closing, so.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And then these loans are for 1 to 4 unit loans. What's the maximum loan somebody could go through? Is there any maximum, $2 million, $3 million that you guys do pretty much on the residential or?
Yeah, well, I mean, it just depends on the loan program, you know, and how many units they're going to purchase. But, you know, there are caps. It can cap out about $2 million, I believe, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay. So it sounds like does Guild Mortgage do any asset lending? Do they look at people's assets too, or is it pretty much strictly based on the income and?
Yeah, it's everything is now is based upon the ability to repay. So the client's ability to repay the loan. So we have to analyze everything that incorporates their capacity to repay the debt. We cannot do any asset based lending anymore. I don't think Guild ever did do that, but. But we can't do that. So as a result of the Dodd-Frank Wall Street reform, that was one of the things that's heavily scrutinized now is, you know, lending based upon the asset with the thought that the borrower could default, you know, not looking at anything else, and then the lender taking back the asset, liquidating the asset, and making a big profit from that. So that's a big no-no in the lending industry, and if a borrower could prove in the court of law that the lender took unconscionable advantage of them, they could be in a really a lot of trouble. So we don't.
And no lender is going to want to do that, right, man? That's just gotten so crazy.
Don't. Yeah, there's some hard money lenders, I think, floating around out there that may still do that kind of stuff, but they're going to be subject to those same laws as well. So they just haven't gone through it yet. So, yeah.
Wow. It's really changed, hasn't it? I don't think it should be as loosey-goosey as it was like in 2004 to 2007, where if you breathed, you could get a loan, right? That was too loose. But I don't think it also should be so tight that when people can really show, especially self-employed people, are there any low-down loans? I mean, it seems like they had gone away in many states, and now we're starting to see some low-doc loans coming back. So.
Those are coming back, and those are specifically for borrowers, just as you stated, Natalie. Those are for a specific niche borrower, you know, that has good credit, that has, you know, liquid assets in the bank that can prove that, you know, they've got the reserves. And so maybe not all the documentation is necessary, maybe not 2 tax returns, but maybe the most recent tax return or W-2 if the client also owns the corporation, is being paid by the corporation. There's some things that we can do, but for the general public, you know, somebody that's a W-2 employee and then, you know, having those no-doc loans, which is pretty much what happened, it got opened up to everybody when it shouldn't have been. That's when we started really running into problems.
It really hurt the good people out there that really were, you know, running businesses and that really had the money, but they got, you know, it really did hurt. But wow, you really know your stuff. So, because I've been drilling you some since I've been in the business for a while, and you definitely know what you're talking about. And I tell you, it's I love that you said that you really have clients too that really, because it's all about serving in our world, in our business and industry, right? Because it's such a time-consuming industry that we're in, and I just love how you said that you have clients you've worked with for a long time that you're still working on. You know, if they want to buy a house, you're going to do what it needs to get them ready to do it. And I love that. Rather than, you know, there are people out there that say, "Oh, you're not ready, buy. Don't bother me," you know. And I just think that's wonderful that you have the serving heart to just hang in there and get them their dream of buying the house eventually. So, teaching them what to do.
Absolutely. We outline a plan and execute that plan. And oftentimes, you know, if they want it to be a short-term goal, but it's a medium or long-term goal. But eventually we get there. And so there's a big sense of satisfaction with that and helping folks do that. So
I love it. That's fantastic.
Yeah, build strong, you know, homeownership builds strong communities, and that's what it's all about. So
it really does, and it makes people strong, and they have assets, and they can build long-term, and it's just a good all the way around. It helps our economy, helps, you know. And thank God we still have the mortgage write-off, the interest write-offs here in the United States. There's countries where if you buy a home, you don't get the write-off. You know, it's not just, we kind of take that for granted here in the U.S. So, it's pretty
we do.
Pretty amazing. So we are
right
almost ready to
wrap.
Right
there on the Schedule A, itemized deductions, mortgage interest will be right there. So you would, a client would get a 1098 form from us in the mail, and they would put that right there on their Schedule A and take that mortgage deduction. So that is very
nice.
And even
a lot of people renting don't think about. I mean, just okay. So we always have to say, I'm not an accountant, I'm not an attorney, and I have to refer you to whatever, you know, the accountant and attorney. But I mean, just say somebody's, you know, paying $2,000 a month rent. By the, you know, they may be able to afford $3,000 by the time they get the write-off, you know, or if they're paying $1,000 a month rent, they may be able to afford a $1,500 mortgage, because by the time they get the write-off, they're not going to be paying all that, you know. So a lot of people that have never owned really don't even realize how much money they're saving when they do own, you know. So definitely, So I just want, we've got about 2 minutes left, and it has been a pleasure having you on. I'd love to have you back sometime, and we've got, can reach Stephen Gran. I'm going to give your phone number of 808-990-6734, and it's sgran@guildmortgage.net, right? And what would you like to say? It sounds like it has been so educational, and really people need to pick up the phone, make the call, email, because no question's a dumb question. Don't feel embarrassed if you've been through short sales, foreclosure, or bankruptcy. There's many things that happen in life, and it's really called life, right? And there's a lot of – not everything's in our control. And except you can plan and get yourself into control. So I'll let you take it away for the last – what you'd like to tell our listeners out there and –
So as Natalie has said, any question, please feel free to reach out. Use me as a resource. It can be anything from credit to, you know, structuring a loan or whatever the question might be. I mean, please feel free to reach out and contact us. So,
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. So we'll have to get you back. And so you can do it all pretty much, you know, the loan. So, and help them figure out which way to go.
So good.
And,
well,
and the
really
rates are so low
that.
Right now, 3% and 4% interest rates. Oh my God, like how, that's like free money, right? It's like amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then what's going on in the European Union too? I mean, we've got negative interest rates there. So that's a very interesting scenario we have going on over in Europe. So the banks are actually charging depositors to keep their money, so which is kind of inducing banks to lend money out to other institutions that aren't doing so well, and also to folks to make, you know, small business loans and so forth. So I know of some large investors that are borrowing in Europe. They're borrowing money in Europe at, like, you know, close to a little over 1%, I think, for 12 years. So
that's scary.
It's really, really kind of uncharted territory. So we'll see how all that plays out as well.
Wow, we're in such a global economy now, aren't we? So different than when we were younger, or at least when I was younger. I can't speak for.
Yeah.
God. Okay, well, everybody, thank you so much, Stephen. We're going to have you, I'd love to have you back, and we'll definitely send business over to you, too. You really know what you're doing. I love your heart, too, about it. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.